Hi, listeners. It's Scotty, and I have something I want to talk to you about. It's a very serious thing, so this is an episode you might want to listen to with your grown-up, or maybe even ask your grown-up to listen to first. We're going to talk about something really important, and I want to make sure you're there to help your grown-up ask questions. Okay, get your grown-up. Let's go. This week you might have been hearing about or seeing big groups of people marching with signs or kneeling all together. These are called protests, and they're happening all over the country. Well, we know the facts. A person named George Floyd was hurt and killed by police officers. It is very, very sad. And there are many other people that have been hurt and killed as well. Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. Mr. Floyd, Mr. Arbery, and Ms. Taylor were people with lives and families and people who loved them. And saddest of all, these things happened to Mr. Floyd, Mr. Arbery, and Ms. Taylor because they were black. In fact, for hundreds of years, going all the way back to when this country was founded, many black people have been hurt for unfair reasons. When someone gets hurt or treated unfairly because of their skin color or where they're from, that's called racism. And racism isn't fair. It's not okay. And it's what we're going to talk about today. Now, you might have some questions about what's going on, so we're going to call in one of our experts, Dr. Jasmine, PhD, to learn more about how to talk about this. So we're going to call up Dr. Jasmine and ask her some questions. Ready? Here we go. Hello, Dr. Jasmine.
Hi. Hi, Scotty.
Hi. Welcome to the Imagine Neighborhood.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks. How are you doing?
Well, you know, Scotty, it's been a tough couple of weeks. There's a lot going on in the world right now. And honestly, I'm sad. But there's also a lot going on that's making me hopeful right now. How are you feeling?
First off, thank you for saying that, because I am also feeling sad, a little angry, and am finding places for hope. It's a little more difficult than it usually is sometimes, but it's a big rush of different feelings all at once. And it's all these big feelings swirling inside all at once are things that inspire me to want to do more. So I'm really glad you could talk to us today.
Thanks, Scotty. I'm happy to talk to you today because I have a lot on my mind and I think this is an important topic.
Yeah. Well, if it's okay, I'd love to just dive right in and ask you some questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, listeners. My name is Jasmine, and I'm a developmental psychologist, which means that I study how children and adolescents develop and grow, and how they understand the world around them. I've also done some research on how teachers and schools can create positive spaces for talking about race and social justice.
Thanks so much. So the first question I have is about the protests that we're seeing. A lot of people have signs that say Black Lives Matter. And I'm wondering if you could tell us, for maybe someone that doesn't know, what does that mean? What does Black Lives Matter mean?
Black Lives Matter is a movement that was started because, kind of as we talked about in the beginning, Black people have been hurt by the police and others for years. And when that hurt happens, it often doesn't get punished. And so people are protesting and they're saying Black Lives Matter because when these harmful acts go unpunished, it sends a message that Black lives don't matter.
So really the Black Lives Matter as a movement is about making things right. It's about if someone hurts somebody just because they're Black, that they should be punished for that.
Absolutely. It's about doing what's fair and getting justice for the Black lives that have been lost.
So when our listeners or their grown-ups, they see the protests, they may have some questions, but they also may want to have a conversation with their grown-up about it. And so I'm wondering, what are some important conversations that our listeners and their grown-ups can be having right now?
Well, I think it's important for kids and their grown-ups to be talking about the hurt and the anger that people, especially Black people, are feeling right now, and how that hurt really comes from years of being treated unfairly simply because of the color of their skin. Many children are being introduced to the idea of a protest for the first time. And I think that parents can help them understand that a protest is a way for people to come together and voice their feelings and demand change. I also think it's extremely important that parents can help kids understand that racism just isn't about mean or bad individuals, but there are actually unfair rules and laws that harm Black people and other people of color, and that's not okay. And that's what these protests are about. It's about people standing up and saying that these rules and laws are not okay and we have to change them.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, in the Imagine Neighborhood, we talk about making things right. And, you know, a protest is one of those first steps in making things right. You know, it's a way that that a lot of people can get together and talk about something that isn't fair, that isn't just.
Absolutely. And I think what a lot of us are seeing in the world right now is that it's a lot of different people coming together, not just the people who are being harmed, but everyone who is seeing it, who is also upset about what's happening. They're coming together to talk about what's wrong so we can make it better.
I think that's really important, too, that even if you're someone that isn't being treated unfairly, if there is someone that's being treated unfairly, it's important for all of us to come together and make that right.
Absolutely.
So some of our listeners might be confused because they're thinking that police are supposed to help us. Police are supposed to be helpers.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Scotty. A lot of people are confused right now because we're often taught that there are certain people that you can go to for help. And the police are one of those people, also doctors and teachers. And in this instance with George Floyd, the police weren't being helpers. But that's also not new for lots of kids of color, especially Black kids. It might be confusing for some kids because it's the first time that they're hearing the idea that a police officer is doing something harmful, that they're not helping, because we're taught that when we need help, we should go to the police, we can go to doctors. Like, there are certain people that we are taught to go to for help. And in this instance, the police were not being helpful. But that's also not new for a lot of children of color, especially Black children.
You know, one thing about the Imagine Neighborhood, Dr. Jasmine, is, we have listeners that are a whole bunch of different ages. We have very, very young kids, and we have older kids. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about how do we talk about race with very young children? Not just talking about race, but talking about what's going on in the world right now. You know, how much details are age appropriate? For very young kids, it might be kind of scary, or they might not necessarily have a sense of what's going on.
Yeah, so we know that, you know, children as early as a few months old can even notice racial differences, and that around preschool, kids start to really have an understanding of group differences and notice when people are treated differently. They start to develop this understanding of fair and unfair. And so I think, you know, it's never too early to have these conversations, and picture books are really an amazing and kid-friendly tool that parents and grown-ups can use to talk with their kids about these topics. And these books often come with talking points or questions and resources for parents so that parents don't really have to do all the legwork themselves, because as we said earlier, a lot of people are at different places in their journey of understanding about these issues. And so my recommendation would be to start with picture books and other media that can really help you have the conversation with your kids.
I love that idea. And I especially love, you know, the idea of using stories. It really sort of helps expand what the world looks like for people. You know, we're saying that these conversations are important and they're a big starting point. And I'm wondering, like, there, but it feels like there needs to be next steps too, that it's not just talking about it, that there's actions that we can take as well.
Yeah, so I mean, you can have actions as big as going to a protest and taking your kids with you, volunteering and bringing your kids with you, or, you know, even just having these conversations is an action to take. And then also saying, you know, next time that you hear somebody making fun of someone's hair because they're different, or making fun of their food because it's not what you eat at home, stand up for that kid. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we can teach children, is to stand up when they see people being treated unfairly.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. You know, my mom always says that values are caught, they're not taught. So for the grown-ups, I think about that a lot when, you know, if you have a grown-up that, for example, is like, well, my kid's always looking at screens, and the grown-up is always looking at their screen, you know, and so the kid is learning by watching. And the same thing I think can happen here, where if you have grown-ups that are actively showing their values to their kids, that's really what I think is more impactful than quote unquote just a conversation, you know?
Right. For grown-ups and for kids, but especially for grown-ups, it's okay to just start where you are. Like, you don't have to have years of studying to begin to do the work to be anti-racist. And if we want to truly raise kids that are multicultural and anti-racist, then like, we have to be intentional in those efforts. That means having ongoing conversation and action.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jasmine. This is incredibly helpful conversation to have. And I know it's not going to be the last thing or the only thing we do, but I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Scotty.
Well, listeners, grown-ups, we all have some work to do. This needs to be an ongoing conversation in all of our homes. And I understand if it's difficult to get started, but one of the first steps in solving a problem is saying it out loud. And if we can talk about it, we can work to make things right. Grownups, if you want some more resources, like books we like, or ways to support fairness and justice in your neighborhood, head over to imagineneighborhood.org/blog. We've got some recommendations and some organizations that you can support. Also, listeners, if you have other questions about things that are going on in your neighborhood, you can always ask us. Grownups can send questions to kind@imagineneighborhood.org and let us know how we can help. It can be a bit scary or confusing when big things are happening, but right now we are working and fighting towards a change for the better. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it to make every neighborhood a place where everyone is safe, healthy, happy, and kind. Now, I usually end our shows by saying, how were you kind today? This week, I want you to ask yourself, how can I be kind today and tomorrow and the next day? You can be the kind of person that actually makes the world a better and safer place for everybody. You can be a helper. And this time, I really want to know, how are you kind today? Be well, take care of each other and yourselves. For the Imagine Neighborhood, I'm Scotty Isery.